think? What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Wakanda! Welcome!
Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight we pour up a double shot for both sides of the city. One for the Yankees, one for the Mets, and two guys that don't get these enough. They don't get enough love. Starting off with Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon needed the All-Star break. I don't know what exactly he did, but I'm watching him today, and I'm like, look at this guy. He's got the command. His body language, perfectly fine. Earlier, I went through his pitch mix. I mean, his sequencing, his location. This guy threw 55 four-seam fastballs, 20 sliders, 16 curveballs, 10 changeups. That's what he has to do. Keep them guessing. Keep them off balance. Don't just give them the fastball to hit early and often where you're down four runs in the first inning. He was the reason that these guys were able to compete and fight today to split that series because he didn't give the game away. He goes seven innings. He goes 10 Ks and two walks, only one earned run. Carlos Rodon, appreciate you. I think was 10 Ks a stat that's like a career high for him? Maybe it was his Yankee high. I got to go look at that. But 10 Ks, I was impressed because that's what you need out of a guy that you're paying $27 million a year. And another guy that you're paying, Jeff McNeil, the Flying Squirrel, refresh your information. Refresh your information on Jeff McNeil. He's flying a bit here. I know that number, 221. I know him batting low in the order. Nobody's looking at Jeff McNeil like he's at, but as of late, he's come alive. When I sat down today, when I sat in this chair to start talking, before I could even get to Bernie Williams, Jeff McNeil was going deep. So he had a three-run blast in the second inning. And as I go to pull up his stats, they were showing some stats on SNY.com. But if you just look at his last seven games, he's got seven hits, three homers, nine ribbies. And that average looks like the average of a batting champ. He's batting .304. So he's getting there. He's getting there. I just think that we got to refresh our information before we just say, oh, this guy's terrible. Oh, this guy. Like, not that long ago, I was saying, who had the worst fall off? Former batting champ DJ LeMahieu or former batting champ Jeff McNeil? And many of you were saying, it's Jeff McNeil. He's younger. He was more recently a batting champ. DJ was a batting champ years ago, and he's older. This could be expected. Jeff McNeil. Well, looks like Jeff McNeil has figured some stuff out. It's got to be tough for a guy watching a pop star come into the clubhouse, take the fan base in the city by storm, kind of low-key take his job as well. Jeff McNeil's fighting as a core member and face of this team to contribute to this team. And his efforts were wasted earlier in the series, but they weren't wasted tonight. Casamigos Big Shots of the Night, a double shot for Carlos Rodon and Jeff McNeil as we get ready for the Subway Series. 888-808-1019. I will sprinkle in some other topics as traditionally I like to let it be open mic time for these last 50 minutes of the night. I haven't spoken on Brooklyn Nets young baller, Jalen Wilson, right? Jalen Wilson just won MVP of the Summer League. MVP, most valuable player, like the best player in the Summer League. Paulie and I were just trying to figure out, we're like, who is this out here that's winning like the whole thing that won the Miami Heat? How does he win MVP and then be put on the second team all Summer League? That doesn't make sense. I'm looking at Twitter and I'm like, wait, he was the most valuable player, but he didn't make first team? And I don't know. I didn't really watch Summer League outside of, trying to watch Bronny a little bit and the kid Alex Saar because, you know, negativity sells, right? Negativity sells because those two guys struggled, LeBron's son and the number two overall pick. So then everybody was, you know, microscope on them. It's Summer League. Summer League is glorified high school, not high school, college basketball. And, 888-808-1019. I really don't need to sprinkle too much in. We've got plenty of calls. You guys know what we're talking about. you guys don't care really to talk about LeBron James or Team USA. I will say that I watched the most minutes of a WNBA game ever this past weekend, and I was impressed. Team USA versus Team WNBA, there was nothing else on when I went home that night, Saturday night, and I watched that, and I'm like, oh, these girls are hooping. They were not playing like it was an all-star game. They weren't playing like it was a break. They were playing like they were trying to win, and I thought that that was refreshing, and I actually thought the level of competition wasn't that bad at all. Like, the level of basketball, like, maybe because they can't dunk and throw alley-oops and not everybody's able to shoot, you know, 40-foot threes. I thought it was pretty solid. Oh, earlier I was talking about Juan Thornhill. Well, Juan Thornhill in receiver, Deebo Samuel and him go back and forth. Deebo throws the helmet into his face. Then he pays Deebo back in the game by knocking him out the game and knocking him out a couple weeks. And I researched his name to make sure I was talking about the right guy. He didn't get flagged in the game. Deebo fractured his left shoulder taking the hit, and Thornhill got fined. The NFL is crazy. Like, I mean, years ago, you're not getting fined for that. Now it's so tough to play at that speed and just like not hit a guy a certain way. Like, he got fined, I think, for lowering the crown of his helmet. He got fined $12,000, $12,578 for unnecessary roughness due to his hit on Deebo Samuel. What are you talking about, unnecessary roughness? Like, now that I'm going back, like, these things happen in the NFL, and you just, you know, if you're not a Browns fan or a Niners fan, you just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Now I'm like, that's a hefty fine. That was payback for Deebo having a cheap shot on him before the game started. So he got his payback. Then he had to pay back the NFL. What goes on? I don't know. I'll sprinkle in some other topics as we take these calls. But Mario in Long Beach is back on the Fan.
What's going on, Keith? Great show as always.
Thanks, man. Bringing it home, you know.
Yeah, I hear you there. You know, I got a comment about the Yankees and then a quick comment about the Giants. First one about the Yankees. These two games, I got to win. I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, and they got their two best pitchers pitching, right? And you know what I like what's going on right now? It looks like they might be peaking at the right time. Both Cole and Gill look like they're pitching well. If they continue along, I think they could be the two best starters in baseball, those two guys. And I like what I see with those guys. And if I were the Yankees, I'm keeping Rice at first base, and I'm moving Volpe back to leadoff. He's fast. I'm going to teach him how to bunt. Let him stay there for the year. Let's see what happens. I don't like this in and out. Ben Rice batter cleanup. Ben Rice batting first. Him batting first. What do you think about that? And then I'll just quickly add in my football comment.
Yeah, I posed the question to the audience earlier. Who takes the ball in game two for the Yankees in the postseason? And right now, before the deadline, the answer is Luis Gil. His last two starts, he's looked like the Luis Gil that early on in the season we were saying, this is an all-star. Like Gerrit Cole in 2023, he should start the all-star game in 2024. I hope that the Yankees have a plan in place to get this young man to the finish line in October. And as far as the lineup goes, like I said earlier as well, they don't have the answers. They're out of answers. That's why I feel like they're grasping at straws. You need Ben Rice to lead off. You need Austin Wells to hit cleanup. Oh, really? I'd be pointing at Verdugo, and like, Verdugo's got to be better. He's got to figure out. He's got to find it. Stop moping. He's got to get his body language together. And Volpe coming through this second half, he's looked a lot better just his first series. He's looked a lot better, not leading off, but hitting sixth and hitting fifth. And you just hope that DJ continues. You hope that Glaber comes in there tomorrow and Glaber brings his bat. It can't just be Soto and Judge. It has to be the whole lineup is a threat. And when they get Stanton back and when they get another bat at the deadline, I think we'll see a different-looking Yankees offense.
Yep. Can I pivot to a quick football comment?
Yeah, with the Giants, right? Giants had some workouts.
I really like to ask you a football question since you played. So, you give it a perspective that only, I guess, Boomer and Tiki can give.
Yes, sir.
You didn't play in the pros, but you played high enough level.
I went to enough practices and games and film.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know that. And, so I respect your, what you say, because I never went to that level, although I did play some, So this is what I really don't understand. It's sometimes penny-wise, pound-foolish. I don't care what they say about running backs. The Giants should have kept Saquon, I believe 100%. They were paying him $10.1 million, right? So he wound up getting $13.3 million, right? Now, the difference is only like $2.2 million. They just signed that guy at tackle. What's his name? I forget the guy's name. The defensive tackle they just signed. They signed him for
Burns,
yeah, $141 million, 5 years, $86 million guaranteed. The guy's making $28.2 million a year. When you look at his numbers, he had 12 sacks last year, and the other 4 years of his career, he didn't even hit 10. Are you telling me that you couldn't have got a good defensive tackle at $25 million and kept the $3 million and then kept Barkley, who wins games for you?
I don't know.
I'll let you go, and you tell me what you think.
I'll tell you. Thanks for the call, Mario. First off, just marketing-wise, I like the whole Spider-Man in New York City. Spider-Man is supposed to be in New York, not in Raleigh, North Carolina, or whatever part of North Carolina, Charlotte, the Panthers play. And I also say that to say this. He was playing for the Panthers. It's going to look a lot different when he's on the field with Sexy Dexy doing his dance. And Kayvon, who I think Kayvon, with all of those guys, like, I think Kayvon already was getting his sack numbers last year in Wink's system. I think Kayvon's, bound to match his numbers, if not have more. I like Brian Burns. I like, if you guys ever see Brian, like, you saw in Hard Knock, he's a monster of a human being. You need guys like that in this NFL, more so than Saquon Barkley's. The Saquon Barkley thing ran its course. Saquon is a home run hitter. He's a great player. Saquon Barkley, or no matter what, that Saquon Barkley, or no matter what, that was, I don't know, Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman's era. This is Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's era. And so the more that they create this team in their own image, the more that they erase some of those moves from the past, I think the more you can evaluate what they're doing. And in this modern day NFL, you don't need to pay running backs. You don't. You don't need to break the bank. Look at what they did with the bank. They get you a backup quarterback. They get you some offensive linemen needed. They get you a player like Burns on defense needed. They get you Devin Singletary. I can't wait for football, bro. If Devin Singletary is able to have some 100-yard rushing games, some touchdowns, some home runs, some big plays, wearing Saquon's 26 and stay healthy, same difference for a lot less. Same difference for more than half less. You know what I'm saying? Saquon Barkley was a great player here, but not great enough to help the Giants win. 888-808-1019. To talk about, and I know the attachment, because even John Mara cracks me up. He comes into the office just to say, I'm not going to sleep well after this. He comes in on the next episode. I'm having heart palpitation. He comes in just to update his GM on, like, this is going to directly impact my health. But he's not stopping them from making the moves. He's trusting them. That's why he hired them. And I think if you're a Giants fan, you got to feel like you have a future, because he had a line. Oh, no, we're not going over this. Like, We know what we tried to pay you last year, Saquon. We know what you passed on. We're not franchise tagging you again. We're not doing the song and dance again, because we already did it last year. And you're a year older, and this year you were hurt. And we're not going through this again the next year, because we also paid Daniel Jones that $40 million, bruh. The end. Like, the end. If we didn't pay Daniel Jones that $40 million, then we pay Saquon. Let me not leave that out. This is a league where Trevor Lawrence just got the bag. What has Trevor Lawrence done? A lot of these quarterbacks that have not taken their team to the promised land have gotten the bag. I was screaming the other day about how Dak Prescott's going to command another contract. They're talking now. I don't understand why Dak Prescott would sign, or why the Cowboys would do it. But they're about to sign Dak Prescott to another extension, another contract. He's going to be making over $60 million a year to blow it in the playoffs. No, they had to pay Daniel Jones. And we're about to see what Daniel Jones does with the weapons that he has, with an improved offensive line, and running back by committee, and not just hand the ball to Saquon, hand the ball to Saquon, Saquon get us a first down, Saquon get us a two-point conversion. Hopefully Saquon breaks one, draw a play up for Saquon, Daniel Jones run it with Saquon again. Let's see your offensive-minded head coach be an offensive-minded head coach. 888-808-1019. We got to take another break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Now I guess we're talking Giants. I saw the Giants are, you know, working out some guys. Or they had a tryout list. Again, your GM is trying to add. I think I saw Greg Van Rotten, Byron Pringle. They're checking. They're looking. They're looking to add to guys as we're going into training camp here. It's time. It's time for football real soon. And it's time for baseball at the same time. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I don't have any time left. Call me up. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
On the Fan in New York. Keith McPherson from Jersey on the Fan in New York. Wrapping up another 5-hour KM to AM. Thanks for joining us. Whether you've heard the whole 5 hours or 5 minutes, I appreciate you. I appreciate the callers. I appreciate everybody on Twitter. And I appreciate the people that just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Never calling. Don't need to call. But they support, they show love, and they're just as important. There's so many people that are like, oh, I listen, I never call. I'm like, that's cool. That's part of it too, right? Some people don't want to be on the air. Some people don't have anything to say, and that's A-okay. 888-808-1019 if you'd like to add to what we're doing here. We've talked about everything from the Yankees game and the Yankees split to, you know, the Mets getting a split against the Marlins, which I don't think is anything bad. I just saw a video, though. At the end of the game, it was Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, and Jose Iglesias. They put their arms around each other. They get in a circle, and then they do a hip thrust, and they bump their glizzies together. What was that about?
Yeah, I guess
that's new.
I hadn't seen that before.
I hadn't seen that before either.
I also didn't see as many celebrations that teams did for home runs this weekend, and I'm sure you saw them.
Saw the
and like and I've. And then you, so you know, you try, so you start to wonder what is it about? Is it like a one thing? I think Burleson is like a rap reference or something because it used to be like some sort of like rapper, I think. I think I saw that somewhere and everyone thought it was something else. So who knows?
I don't think it was a rap thing.
Neither do I. I'm just saying.
I think I heard Evan and Tiki talking about that.
Yeah, it's wild for everyone. Now it's so like magnified because of everything. So in the real world, obviously not the toy.
Magnified. I saw Taylor Walls do a fight Trump imitation when he got on, I think, second or third base in Yankee Stadium. I mean, these guys are not dumb. They know that everything gets clipped and goes on social media. They're going to go viral. They're going to get attention. They try and play into it. They try and do something cool, whether it's a hit celebration, whether it's a home run celly, whether it's trotting around the base paths for 30 seconds like a bozo. It's part of the game, and that's what Boone talks about when he tries to look away. Hey, let the kids have fun. Let the kids play. It is what it is. You've got the Yankees doing this now, like, I thing. Like, I see you, or I'm dialed in, or, like, you know, all eyes on me. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but they're looking for something. I don't know. They, you know, when Austin Wells homered today, he came across home plate, touched his eyes. I've seen all these guys on the Yankees start to do that now. That has replaced the dogs because you can't really do the dog thing. That's Verdugo's thing. And Verdugo has been dog-ess.
That's good, Keith. I like that. That's good.
Let's go to Joey in Brooklyn on the Fan. What's up, Joey?
What's up, Keith? How's it going, my man?
It's going. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, man. I saw you a couple weekends ago. I think it was July 4th weekend at the shore. Great to see you, my man. You were parking the car. So, yeah, your kid with you. It was great to see you, my man.
I don't recall.
All good. 4th. All good.
Yeah, but, I mean, did I say hello?
You said hello.
Okay. Well, what's up, man? I'm blanking on July 4th weekend. I don't know. But, yeah, what's up? Thanks for calling.
All good. Just wanted to chat, you know, the one consistent thing about the Yanks this year, you look at the first half of the year, obviously unbelievable, you know, peaking, I don't know, 28 games, 29 games over 500. First team to 50 wins. But the one thing that's been consistent is their inability to have a significantly winning record against the AL East. Obviously now they're down, I think, 18-21 for the year. But even at their peak, still, at the peak, they were only one game above 500 against the AL East teams. How do you explain that, Keith? How do you explain their inability to compete or at least play?
I can tell you. I can definitely tell you. I'll do it as condensed as possible. Judge was carrying for a little while, and Soto as well. And once a couple injuries hit, Birdie, Clark Schmidt, really Stanton, then you're forced to play guys that you're not trying to play. So the lineup gets disconnected. Remember when the Yankees had the same lineup every day and we were celebrating, yo, this is different. The same lineup every day, consistency in the lineup. They're playing so well with the same lineup. Well, that disappeared as soon as certain guys like Rizzo, Stanton, John Birdie, whoever got hurt. Go on.
For sure, but even when there were 28 games over 500, and they still, by the way, and I was listening to C-Mac last night, the Yankees still have the second best run differential in the entire MLB, which is crazy.
Well, let's go back. They also, I didn't finish the other part of it. The rotation before Gerrit Cole came back was the best rotation in baseball. They had the lowest ERA in baseball. All of their starters, we were bragging about, all these guys have gone at least four innings. Not that like that's anything to brag about, but like, just saying that, like, hey, every starter's giving them, no one's getting rocked right away. Every starter's giving them 4-5 innings. I remember, like, we were celebrating Nestor going 6-7 innings. Rodon was playing much better. I took a picture of his splits. The Yes Network put this up today. I was like, oh, he was pitching. His ERA was a 2.93 the first 14. Then it went up to a 9.67. Like, they were playing above their heads. It was an aberration. They were more ready to compete than teams they were playing against, and they got fat on teams like the White Sox, the Tigers, the Twins. You know what I'm saying?
They were still playing 500 ball against the AL East, even during that peak time.
And then gauntlet came, and they faced the Dodgers, the Braves, the Orioles, the Mets, the Red Sox, and they lost. They had no answer for those teams.
I'm saying about the beginning of the year, though.
Yeah.
They still couldn't play AL East. They're playing 500 ball against the AL East. And they're playing, that's my concern. You know, even when they were playing at their peak in the first few months of the season, they were still playing 500 ball against the AL East.
Well, that's just an early sample size and not getting that much, you know, run against teams. The Orioles owned them in the beginning of the year. They weren't that great against the Red Sox either. They're still not that good in the division, but can win the division.
Could win the division, but again, later on in the year, September, when you're looking back, you know, those early games matter. They matter, Keith. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I'll let you go, my man. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Joey. Yeah, I always say, man, I hate people that act like the math isn't the same later in the beginning. There's still games. However you want to reshuffle them, 162 is 162. So stack wins. I'm screaming, stack wins. I was happy that they were stacking wins in the beginning of the year when they didn't sweep a team in four games on the road like the Kansas City Royals. I'm like, you gotta complete the sweep there. Klay Holmes. That's another thing. Klay Holmes came back down to earth. Every part of it. The rotation came back down to earth. They had injuries in the lineup and the rotation. Clark Schmidt goes down. Cole comes back. Poteet, whatever. The lineup, the rotation wasn't the same. The lineup misses Stanton, Rizzo, things start changing. The bullpen starts to implode. Klay Holmes is not able to lock down saves. All of those things, they started to crumble. And they weren't doing that in April. They weren't doing that in May. June was terrible. They have a stretch here from June
like 13th, where they, like, I got to pull up the Troy Benjamin tweet. I gasped. I'm like, yo, this is what I was talking about, you know, a week or two ago. Some Yankee fans were mad at me. I'm like, yo, they're fake luxury. They're playing like poverty, posing as luxury. It's like when you see these apartments built as luxury apartments, and then you go in and the plumbing's not working right, the appliances aren't right, the walls are thin. Like, this ain't no luxury apartment. You guys build this as a luxury. This is fake luxury. So, yeah, I'm looking at the teams that they're with, and I'm like, this is despicable, bro. Wait a minute. The Yankees, these Yankees with Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Gerrit Cole in them, they should not be in the company of these teams that are all bottom dwellers, sellers. Troy Benjamin from the Yes Network wrote at 9:15 this morning, worst records in MLB since June 13th. The White Sox, 10-22. The Yankees, 10-21. You could just stop there. The Marlins, 12-20, better than the Yankees. The Rockies, 12-20, better than the Yankees. The Blue Jays, 12-19, better than the Yankees. I said, wait a minute. Josh is in Passaic. What's up, Josh? You're back on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up?
You know, talking the talk, you know, taking calls.
I just came back one day break to do that camp I was telling you a month ago. Now I'm getting everything ready. 28 kids signed up, $35 each. You know, it adds up.
Getting money, getting to the bag.
Right. So first, I want to give a shout out to Daniel and David from Monroe. Big fans of yours.
Shout out to them. What up, guys?
And so, Keith, first with the, I want to say with the Jalen Wilson thing, if you believe in anything that happens over the summer, then Ben Simmons would be like an all-star. It would have been an all-star last year.
Yeah, nah, I don't. I just was telling Paulie, I'm like, I'll watch a little bit of the summer league, but I don't get too into it. Like, I think like Lonzo Ball was MVP of a summer league 1 year.
Cam Thomas was like co, right?
Yeah, but Cam Thomas is a true. You know, you can't read too much into these 20-year-olds playing against other 20-year-olds for their first taste of NBA competition. It is not the NBA.
Man, that's with Malik Nabers, the way some of these people that cover Giants make it sound like, you know, he's going to be like Justin Jefferson this year, put up 1,800
yards.
Yo,
they got to chill. Loogie said he thinks that he can be the greatest receiver of all time with the Giants. I'm like, what? People are already calling him Odell. What? People are saying he's the next Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase has Joe Burrow throwing him the ball. Like, Daniel Jones has to make this guy. That's what I was saying about drafting a receiver. Anyway, the receiver's only as good as the quarterback.
Right. And then, Keith, so remember last series you gave your three-pointers about each team giving a sweep. So you think you could do that again? Which three things the Mets and Yankees need for a sweep for each side?
Oh, with the Yankees, it starts with a mulligan, a redo, take two. Luis Gil, Gerrit Cole, here you go. You're facing the same guys in your building. They have to have solid starts. They have to give us a chance. They cannot let the Mets tag them. They can't let this Mets lineup get after them right away like they did in Citi Field. So that's a one key for the Yankees. The second key for the Yankees is, like, Luis Severino said there's two hitters. I know Judge is going to hit. I know Soto's going to show out too. But it can't just be those two. They have to continue what we saw today. Austin Wells, Volpe, DJ, Cabrera, Ben Rice, whoever it might be. Like, it can't be all just Soto and Judge. And then last but not least, when it comes down to the bullpen, the Yankees bullpen, the circle of trust has to continue. And if these games are not blowouts and they're tight games, I expect these to be tighter games, not blowouts. Or if it's a blowout, I expect it to be a blowout in the Yankees' favor. Yankees don't really blow out teams. I mean, today, yeah, but bullpen's got to lock it down. So those are keys for the Yankees. For the Mets, coming off this split with the Marlins, put that behind you. That doesn't mean anything. The Mets have a run here, and, like, they're about to be home. I mean, they're coming home. They get to sleep in their beds the next two nights. They live in New York. Lock in and realize you win one game of these two. You take the season series from the almighty New York Yankees with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. No matter what happens this year with your team or their team, you have bragging rights. Just win a game. Just win one game, and you can say that you defeated the Yankees in this season. Obviously, you have Quintana and Manaea on the mound. Those two guys, barely familiar. Quintana, barely been around. and Manaea a lot less. They need to make their mark on Yankee Stadium, on the Subway Series. It's really more on the starting pitching. I think the bullpen for the Mets obviously has to hold up, but I'm not looking at the bullpen of the Mets like the same way that they were. And I'm not worried about the Mets hitting either. I'm looking at the starting pitchers. If Quintana and Manaea get into trouble early, then I don't think the Mets have a shot. And last but not least, of course, the bullpen. Don't lose the game for them. If you do get good outings from Manaea, from Quintana, these guys are going to hit. The Mets will find a way to hit. I know they struggled a little bit here with Miami. I mean, the one win before this, six-run win, they only scored one run. But I think coming back to New York, they're going to feed off the energy. They're back in their home, in their homes with their wives and their kids, significant others, their cats, their dogs, whatever. The bullpen can't be the reason. The bullpen has to continue to be solid. There has to continue to be a circle of trust. Mendy's got to manage the bullpen right. Edwin Diaz, when called on, has got to be lights out. And I think if the Mets win one, I think the Yankees probably split here with the Mets. I would love to see the Yankees take two, but I just don't think the Yankees are like that. When we're looking at who the Yankees have beat, the Orioles were struggling when the Yankees got to them. The Yankees should have swept them, and they didn't. And the Tampa Bay Rays, to even let the Tampa Bay Rays come into your building and do all that hot dogging and taunting that they did and split the series is not good enough. These Mets, even though they're only two games above 500, excuse me, three now, like they've been playing good baseball as of late. I think they're better than their record shows. They could easily split the series or lose both to the Mets, and that's forever. We'll have to live with that for a whole year and some until we get to next year with the six games.
And that bullpen, I was with you on that. That I think would be the main point, because Quintana and Manaea are usually five innings. That's it. They don't go longer than
You've
that.
You've seen them go seven recently. You've seen them have some
right,
games.
Right, but guys, and Quintana's had like an eight inning game, but the average these guys do, they put out five innings. Yeah, of course they could have seven, eight innings. Especially with that Yankees lineup, if Judge and Soto aren't hitting, they'll get the rest of the lineup. But otherwise, that they usually just go four or five innings. I would love for them to go seven innings, and to be those random names or some now more names. No more known guys to come up, and then I think that's a really big thing with the Mets. Kid. And then I want to hear what you felt and about a guy like DJ LeMahieu. How do you think about him now?
I used to be a huge DJ fan. I just thought that he was what this team needed. But like I said, he hit the home run today, and good to see him run into one. But man, the next at bat that he had, I'm like, that's why I can't trust you. That's why I'm ready to move on, because you go from a good at bat hitting a homer. And then the next at bat, you're chasing a strike three. You're out on three pitches. You're an easy out. I can't trust you, bro. You're supposed to be a better hitter. You were the leadoff hitter. You're supposed to be better than that for what you're making with what's on the back of the baseball card. And I can't rely on you every day. You can't be an everyday starter. And I don't care what you feel like, what Boone says you deserve. Nah, nobody deserves anything if they're not producing.
And Keith, wish me luck on my camp. I'll probably... Yeah, I'll call back soon. I'm going back up. Maybe I'll have one. I'll call one night. I'll be back in between. That's cool, Matsky. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Josh, thanks for making time to call KM to AM. Enjoy your summer camp. Enjoy your summer. Get that money and all that, man. Proud of you. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I've cleared all my calls. If you would like to call and say anything in this next 11 minutes, nope, now 10 minutes, Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking my last break, and we'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Okay, I'm out of time. Another 5 hour KM to AM. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I think I have 3 minutes, so I have three calls. Let's try and take each call. You each get 1 minute starting now. Dallas is in Monroe. What's up, Dallas? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith, man? First time caller, long time listener, man. Hey. What's up, buddy? I'm just calling about the Cowboys, man. Who do you think's the most important to sign right now? CD, Dak, or Micah?
Well, right now it's CD because he's not showing up without a new contract, right? So they got to sign CD. I'd wait on Dak. I don't know. I'd just let Dak play out the year. Let him hit free agency. And if he comes back, he comes back. If not, then move on. And we don't know what this year is going to be. Micah is going to want
Defensive Player of the Year money. I think he's going to go out there and try and play like that. But yeah, you got to get CeeDee Lamb's deal done after the year he had last year. And it's just stupid that they waited for so long. Everybody, Amon-Ra got paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Jefferson got paid. And now they're on receiver. CeeDee Lamb, you should have got ahead of it and done it before.
I totally agree, man. I mean, the front office is just backwards right now.
They fumble everything. They do everything wrong. It's like the rest of the league gives you the blueprint, and you try and create your own roadmap, and it hasn't worked.
I mean, being named Dallas, living up here in the Jersey, New York area, it's tough, man, especially when your team's fumbling like this.
I bet. Your name is Dallas, and that's your favorite team, man. I guess stay down till you come up. Good luck, bro. I'm a free agent this NFL season. I'm Rob Lowe. You guys are going to see me with NFL, like, regular merch. Like, I'm going to wear the NFL shield straight up. Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's happening, buddy? How we doing?
Good, good. Wrapping it up.
Great show, brother. Yeah, great show. Well, if you're a free agent as a Jets fan, I don't know, man. That roster looks pretty nasty. Maybe
the
it's
New
the Jets,
Jersey Jets.
Local, they,
if they change their name to the New Jersey Jets tomorrow, I'm a New Jersey Jets fan.
I wouldn't hate it. So, real quick on the Yanks, man. I mean, obviously on the pitching front, it was great to see Rodon return to old form, or at least what it was earlier in the season, because we're going to need him more than anything. I think, you know, if he could turn into a solid three starter, you know, we're in business. And, we know who the bullpen arms are. I'm really curious your perspective on infield. I mean, obviously, we need a utility guy. We need somebody with speed. Doesn't sound like the Rockies are giving up McMahon.
Right.
If it's not McMahon, who is it?
Yeah, I haven't mentioned. They said it a while ago he wasn't going to get moved. I think it's between Jonathan Chisholm and Jonathan Chisholm. Jonathan India and Jazz Chisholm, and either one is fine. Either one is better than what we have.
Yeah, you think Jazz is real, huh? You think they're going to be willing to move Jazz? I guess they kind of have to, huh?
I mean, I don't think they're really trying to keep him. Thanks for the call, Eric. Last call goes to Dwight in Asbury Park. What's up, Dwight?
Oh, yo, Olympics coming up in a couple of days, bro. Keep ready, my man.
Yeah, I've been watching. Thanks for the call, Dwight. I'm ready for the track and field. I've been watching a little bit of the hoops. Like, you know, a little bit of a scare against South Sudan. Balling against Germany, Australia, Serbia, Canada. We'll see, man. Go USA. That's all I've got. Stay tuned for C-Mac, the Midnight Ride. Mac is back. Oh, Mac is back. I don't know how the rest of the song goes. Either way, he's about to come in here and sing it. Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to AM ends. That's all I've got. I'll be back after the Yankee game tomorrow.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. W.